Today we are going to talk about God strengthening us. Could you figure that out? A lot of wonderful songs talk about that. And what great music we had this morning. It was wonderful. God strengthens us. We've been talking this year about God's personal involvement in our lives, and we, for the longest time, talked about that by the example of the testimony of men's lives. But as we draw closer to the end of this study, we're going to talk about specific ways in which God works in our lives as believers, and today, how he strengthens us. So let's have a word of prayer together and prepare our hearts for this study. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for the opportunity we have had this morning to sing praises and offer praise to you through song. It's been a blessing to us. We trust it's been a blessing to you. And now we turn our attention to the written word as you have given it. And we want to understand some more things about you and what you do in us and for us. So help us. We know that your Holy Spirit teaches us, and we look for that in this moment. Help us to understand this matter of how you strengthen us. For you are the Almighty God, and you are able to give us your power. Teach us not only this truth, but the application of it to our personal lives. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the statements in the Bible that Jesus made has gotten a great deal of discussion in general society and use. And it comes from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 39. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, unfortunately, this is variously portrayed by the world as Jesus suggesting that men either be pacifists or peacenicks or wimps or weaklings. It's a statement that, in fact, often the world makes fun of because in the world's eyes, strength is primarily exhibited by some outward display of assertiveness, and this is portrayed as the opposite of that. By the world's standards, if someone hits you, you are supposed to react and defend yourself in like kind. Otherwise, people will walk all over you, and that's certainly not acceptable. But let's consider a little different take on what Jesus said. That a person who submits his heart to God should be able to exhibit a different kind of strength, an inner strength that has the power to resist the temptation to take vengeance on those who would persecute you. So, let's consider this kind of strength, inner strength, that God gives and wants to provide to those who trust in him. First, consider the world's idea of strength. And I know in our politically correct world, some of this may not necessarily compute, but thinking in traditional terms and the way men think in spite of political correctness as it's being presented today. Even in the Bible, we see this viewpoint that to be a man is to be strong. Would you go to 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2? 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2, David is at the end of his life and he's about to turn the kingdom over to Solomon. And in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2, David speaking to Solomon, he says, I go the way of all the earth, Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Not only do we see that in the Old Testament, but we see it in the New Testament as well. The Apostle Paul presented the very same concept. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. They are using the general concept of strength in the thinking of mankind and using it as an illustration, illustrative purposes. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, Paul says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." So manhood, masculinity, is related to the idea of strength. Not intended to be any offense to you ladies, but traditionally, in the thinking of mankind, femininity has been equivalent to delicateness, not brute force. And even in our politically correct world, we are still grappling with this. I know there are a lot of ladies that are in the military, but isn't there still a controversy as to whether or not they should go into combat? Why is there that controversy? Because we have, for all these generations of mankind, equated strength and brute force with masculinity and delicateness with femininity. Now, Goliath, therefore, to the world's thinking, becomes the epitome of strength. Remember Goliath? 1 Samuel 17, verses 4 to 9 gives the description of him. It describes Goliath as being very tall. His height would be about the top of the curtains at the window here in the auditorium. That's how tall he was, 9 feet 10 inches. That's how tall he was. That's pretty tall. And not only that, he was very strong, because it describes the armor that he carried. And his spear was like a weaver's beam or something like that. I mean, it's like one of us trying to carry the trunk of a tree around. As long as the trunk of the tree is only about that big around, we're okay, right? But you get something that's much bigger and it gets tougher. And he's carrying hundreds of pounds of armor and weapons, because he is not only tall, he is massive in every way and strong. So strong that his strength was intimidating to the entire Israeli army. That's the world's idea of strength, brute force. However, not all men are as tall as Goliath or as muscular. And men also, while they equate brute force and masculinity with the idea of strength, understand, whether subconsciously or in other ways, that strength is more than muscles. There has to be something within that gives you the courage to stand up and deal with things. Consequently, most men in the world need some kind of prop or crutch to lean upon. For example, Isaiah 31 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 1. The Assyrians were coming after the northern kingdom of Israel. And so the northern kingdom of Israel, instead of asking God for help, decided that they would go to Egypt and ask for help. And so God says to them, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong." Now, this would be equivalent to tanks and aircraft carriers and fighter jets and all of those kinds of things in modern day times. The weapons of war. The horse was a tremendous weapon of war, a vehicle that made you superior to walking troops. And the chariots made you even more dominant and fearsome. And these people trusted in the chariots and in the horses, in the multiplicity of them, the many of them that could come from Egypt and help. Now, we are certainly glad that we have a strong military in the United States. But is that the only thing that makes us strong? Do we rely upon our military for our strength? Is that what props us up? What would we be like as a people if we did not have the military that we have? Other people trust in something else. Psalm 52 and verse 7. If it's not horses and chariots, Psalm 52 says, "Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness." Some people use money as a prop to hold them up and make them feel strong. Well, I can conquer the world because I can pay for anything. And then there's this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Do you know that some trust in the wisdom of men? That's where their strength comes from. That's even where their faith is planted, in the wisdom of men. They trust in smart people, intelligent people, wise people, and they feel strong because they have the smartest people backing them. You know, people accuse us. Have you ever experienced this? People accuse us of using our faith as a crutch. They say, "Oh, if you didn't have your faith, you wouldn't be anything. You're just using your faith as a crutch." Well, I have news for you. Most people use something for a crutch. And as we've seen in these verses, some people use a strong military as a crutch. And some people use riches as a crutch. And some people use wisdom, smarts, as a crutch. And maybe we do use faith as a crutch. But the question is, which crutch can actually hold you up? I'll take my faith in Jesus Christ as a crutch any day, because he can actually give real strength. Now, the strength of man, anything that I can muster up as strength, easily fails. And this is something that we have to face and deal with in our lives. Our own personal faith is brittle and easily broken. Psalm 22:15 says, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd." Remember that word in the Bible, potsherd, P-O-T-S-H-E-R-D? It means a fragment of pottery. The clay pottery is very brittle. And a fragment, a little broken piece of pottery, is about as dry as anything you can think of, and illustrates the brittleness of something. And so he says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. Anything that I could muster up within myself is just brittle and easily broken. Go to Psalm 31 and verses 9 and 10. So for these men who trust in horses and chariots, or trust in riches, or trust in the wisdom of men, their strength is not very stable and is easily broken and brittle and easily fails. But there's a reason for this. Psalm 31, verse 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. Our failures overwhelm us. My strength faileth because of my iniquity. My iniquity is my tendency to do the wrong thing. We do have that tendency, you know. The tendency to do the wrong thing. That's what iniquity means. The tendency to do the wrong thing. Each of us have different iniquities, different tendencies to do wrong things. But in general, iniquity is the tendency to do the wrong thing. And I am overwhelmed by that. Our own failures overwhelm us. And look at the condition. He's in trouble. He's crying. His eye is consumed with grief. He doesn't feel well in his belly, my soul and my belly. He doesn't feel well physically. He doesn't feel well emotionally. My life is spent with grief, my years with sighing. He doesn't feel well physically. He doesn't feel well emotionally, all because he's overwhelmed with his proclivity to do the wrong thing. Our own failures overwhelm us. And then Psalm 88, verses 3 and 4, life just drains us. Psalm 88, verse 3. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Life just absolutely drains us. Do you ever feel like that? Just drained by life itself. Well, the best thing for us to do is to acknowledge our weakness and our dependency. This is what an unsaved man, a man of the world, cannot do. To admit that I am weak is to admit that I'm not a man. That I'm not strong, that I can't do it myself. And isn't that what we are told by the world? Why, if I just have enough self-esteem, I can do whatever I want to do. I can be whatever I want to be. I can go out and conquer the world. All I have to do is visualize it. All I have to do is want it. And I can go for it. I can get it. I can do. But we can't. Because we human beings don't have it in us of ourselves to be strong. We are typically, as human beings, weaklings. Because our own failures overwhelm us, and life just drains us. So the best thing for us to do is to admit to our weaknesses, to the fact that we can't do this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. Now, remember who's saying this. This is the Apostle Paul, who had said in another place, quit you like men, be strong. Well, he's pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired of life. But the best thing about this is that he knew it. He knew he was overwhelmed, and he acknowledged his own weakness, that this was more than he could handle. Sometimes we get more than we can handle, and the best thing for us to do is to say, I can't do this. Well, wait a minute. I thought there was a verse in the Bible that said God doesn't give us more than we can handle. Is there a verse in the Bible like that? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Well, there it is. Well, now wait a minute. Am I telling you something that isn't true? When I say you should acknowledge that you can't do this, is that contradicting? Well, see, that's not the end of the verse. It says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, what's the next word? With. With the temptation. Do you know this verse never, ever actually says God never gives you more than you can handle? It says God won't ever give you more than you can handle without giving you a way to handle it. He does allow things to come into your life that are more than you can handle. It says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to do what? Bear it. Not escape it, but bear it. He will give you the strength that you don't have. What you need to do is to acknowledge to God, God, I can't do this. As long as you, in your flesh, say to yourself, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. You know? As long as we play the little train, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, we will never get over the top of the hill. Sorry. Not to contradict the book, which isn't the Bible. But just telling yourself, I think I can, I think I can, isn't going to get you there. Because in and of ourselves, we get overwhelmed with our failures and we are drained by life and our weaknesses fail, our strength fails constantly because we are weaklings as human beings apart from the power of God. And so Paul said, it was above strength. The trouble that I was in was above the strength that I possessed. It was more than I could handle. But in acknowledging that something is more than I can handle is when I will then turn to God and find the strength that I need. You see, God is strong. Would you go to Psalm 65? There are so many places that we could go in the Bible and talk about how strong God is. But we'll go to Psalm 65, verses 5 to 7. And it was interesting in the songs that we sang and the special music and things, how many of them talked about the natural world and the creative power of God and things of that nature. that addresses the power of God. For notice here in Psalm 65 in verse 5, it says, "By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains." Most of us have seen up close and personal some pretty tall mountains. Around here, we don't really have mountains around here. We have hills. But how many of you have ever been to the Rocky Mountains? They're pretty tall. One time I drove up in the Rocky Mountains, and I was at 10,000 plus feet, and I wasn't at the top. There was a walking trail you could go up to the top, 13,000 some feet. That's pretty high up, a couple miles up. Mountains, big mountain. Could you ever pick up a mountain? Why? That's a silly thought, isn't it? Pick up a mountain? How could I ever pick up a mountain? I couldn't get my arms around a mountain. Yet God is the one that set the mountains fast, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power. And then it says in verse 7, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. And it makes us think of the times in the New Testament Gospels when Jesus calmed the sea. Can you imagine? The waves coming over the boat, filling it up, making the men despair of life. And all Jesus has to say is, "Peace be still," and it's done. That's amazing strength. That's amazing power. Genesis 17:1 says, "I am the Almighty God." Genesis 18, verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Obviously, the answer is no. Job 42, verse 2, "I know that thou canst do everything." Isaiah 26, and verse 4, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Matthew chapter 19, and verse 26, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So, we human beings are weaklings, overwhelmed by our own iniquities and our own failures, drained of life. There is nothing that we have within ourselves that can hold us up. That's why we're always looking for some crutch or another prop to make us feel like we're strong when we aren't. The best thing that we can do is acknowledge that we are weak, but God is strong, and if I will lean on Him, He has the ability to give me His strength. While we're in Psalms, go over to Psalm 31 and verse 24. Psalm 31 and verse 4. 24. Psalm 31, verse 24, the last verse in the psalm. "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Notice that his strength affects our inner man. He strengthens our heart. For real strength is not in muscles, but in the ability of the inner man to stand in the face of all trouble and challenge. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. "And this is only available to those who are in Christ, because if you're not in Christ, the Spirit is not in you, and you have no resources, no means of assimilating the strength of God, because this happens in you. It says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Where? In the inner man. Here's what we have to understand. Our outer man and our inner man can go in opposite directions at exactly the same time. Our outer man can go downhill while our inner man is continuing to build strength. You know the verse. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. While our outward man is perishing, our inward man can be constantly growing stronger each and every day. As we become more feeble in our bodies, that is no reason for us to give up. For the Lord can strengthen our inner man, and we can be stronger and stronger every day to deal with life and its circumstances. And in spite of the weakness of our body, we can be strong in the Lord in our inner man, thereby rendering weakness of our body irrelevant. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. God said to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." God says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." So Paul said this, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." And you say, how can he glory in his infirmities? How can he be glad that he has this problem in his body? Not because he is happy that he is ill or feeling bad in his body, but because he is acknowledging the difference between the outer man and the inner man. And while his outer man is experiencing this weakness, on the inside, he can be so strong by the power of God placed in him that the weakness in his body becomes irrelevant as to who he is. So many times, our physical infirmities define us because we allow them to. I become an ill person because I allow my physical weakness to define who I am. It's very easy to do. We allow our physical infirmities to affect the way we think, the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about life, the way we interact with others. We allow our physical infirmities and our weaknesses to consume us. And lots of times we can be an old person mentally because we let the aging of our body determine who we are. But though our outward man perish, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. And so we, with the Apostle Paul, can glory in infirmities Because God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. He so works in us that in our person, we are not intimidated by illness. We are not intimidated by physical weakness. We are not intimidated by injury. We are able to face all of these things with courage, mustered within us, not of ourselves, but of God who works in us, to infuse His strength into us. The one who is able to pick up a mountain and set it fast in place, the one who is able to say to the winds of the storm on the sea, "Peace be still," and they are absolutely quiet. The one who has this almighty power is the one who is able to strengthen us with might by His Spirit in the inner man, so that anything weakness that we are experiencing in our bodies can be rendered irrelevant, and we can be strong as we depend upon the Lord. Instead of trusting in horses or chariots, that is, instead of trusting in weapons or armor, or instead of trusting in riches or wealth, that is, instead of trusting in the accumulation of things, or instead of trusting in the wisdom of men, that is, trusting in government and education and schools and job, etc., to provide us with a sense of security, all we need to do is trust in God. Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 28 and verse 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped." Hebrews 13:6 says, "So that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.'" Not many of us are able to lift tremendous weights or run long distances or show great muscular strength. But all of us can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And even though our bodies may be weak on the inside, the person that I am in Christ can be courageous and bold and strong and assertive and determined. Let's not allow our infirmities to define who we are. In spite of the condition of our physical bodies, let us be those who are unintimidated by anything the world, the flesh, or the devil can throw at us. Because we have within us the power of the Almighty God, who by his strength can set fast a mountain and still the noise of the sea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this reminder of who you are and what you can do and what you can do in us. Help us to understand this truth. The world, the flesh, and the devil are constantly bombarding us with things that overwhelm us, and life drains us, and we are overwhelmed by our own failures, and we are weak in ourselves. But thank you that you can give us your strength, that we can be strong in you. Apply this truth to our lives on a daily basis, and may we testify of how you have girded us with strength, how you have been our rock, our fortress, our strength in daily life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.